Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:02 on the clock. Got Melissa and James here with you. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
We are waiting on our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. We'll be joined by Paul Trombley in just a moment. You may have noticed CBS News CBS News has had enough, okay? They're stuck in a loop. They're not even going to give us news anymore. It's just going to be that sounder for 3 minutes, just CBS News. I don't know what that was. I've never, in 20-some years, I've never seen that before.
That's weird.
I'm not sure what went wrong, what happened there, or anything like that. We've got the best engineer in the business, who happens to also be our GM, Chuck De Niro, on that for you. So we'll be getting we'll get you an update from CBS News at any time now. Right now, we want to get an update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there?
Not bad. How about over there for you?
Really good. We're excited. It's an election day. We get to be, make democracy alive today. And what is it going to look like weather-wise for those running to the polls?
Yeah, it looks like the weather cooperating nicely to get out and about for casting your vote or what else may have been on the docket for today here for you. We do stay with more clouds, but some sunny breaks as well here as the day progresses. And a high temperature is up near 50 with an east-southeast wind, 10 to 15. With a cloud cover tonight, moving in more so, some shower chances late, about 43, and then kind of on and off with some rain showers Wednesday and Thursday. Even a couple thunder showers possible. 62 tomorrow, 57 with the showers and a thunder shower Wednesday night. More rain showers Thursday, upper 60s, and then a cold front coming through here by Friday morning, falling about 30 by Friday morning. The more rain showers through Thursday night. And then rain showers maybe turn into snow shower chances Friday. It's in the mid-30s with a gusty southwest to west wind. Chilly but quiet into the weekend. Some low 30s for highs starting it off Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Paul, we appreciate you. I say it all the time. I think you guys are the best in the business, and I enjoy talking with you every morning. If you mention that snow word again, Paul, I'm turning your mic off. I'm turning it off. No, I'm kidding.
I appreciate you, Paul. I like sweater weather.
Yeah, it's definitely, the time is upon us. It's not unusual, but, if it was September and I was saying that, I would totally get it.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Paul. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to.
He puts up with way too much for me. Appreciate our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. It's coming. We all know what's around the corner.
Yep, time to break out those winter clothes.
But how are you going to be awake for it? Are you going to be able to, are you going to get out of that brain fog that some people experience right now? And some of us without.
Most people do.
Yeah, right. Daylight savings time ended Sunday. Still feeling a little drowsy? The good news is a poll found that this should be the last day you feel that way. 2,000 people were asked how long it takes them to adjust to the shifting of clocks. The average answer was 66 hours. That's 2 days plus another 18. That means the average person should be back to normal tonight around 7. So if you're still struggling tomorrow morning, that may want to...
You're not normal.
Yes. Welcome to the club. We have a great meeting once a month. It's fantastic. It's a lot of great hors d'oeuvres and a lot of weird stuff because it's a weird meeting. Here are a few more quick stats that came from the survey. Two-thirds of us hope that this is the last time we fall back. 66% of people think that shifting the clocks back and forth should be abolished one way or another. Around 40% hope the bill passed in the Senate this year takes effect. That's how many people think daylight saving time should be permanent. Over half of us still have at least one old-school clock we had to change manually this week, like the clock on your stove or in your car. Phones do it automatically, but 55% of us had to change at least one clock ourselves.
At least one. That's it? Wow.
Yeah, at least two or three for me that I can think of.
Four, five, six, seven. Yeah, I think we had seven clocks we had to change.
My Nana Pop at their house, when you first walk in, like right by the kitchen, they had just 10, 11 different cuckoo clocks.
Oh, wow.
They both liked them, and they were these amazing cuckoo clock. This really cool looking, very good design, and annoying.
Like, I was going to say, do they all go off every hour?
They all went off.
Quarter hour?
Yep, they did for a long time. I think they stopped doing that after a while. But in part because they had to keep shifting the clocks twice a year, you know, that kind of thing. Doing that on each one of those. And if you've never done it on a cuckoo clock, that is, it takes some patience on those things. I used to have to do it for them. And yeah.
Because you got to be careful with those.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that for me, I always thought, well, this is, yeah, we should definitely just leave it as it is. Let's just fall back, you know, one more time and then we're done with this. But there's so much research about sleep involving this subject that I have not done enough homework on myself. Even though I'm awake all the time, you'd think I'd have time to do it. I want to do a little more homework on the subject without giving a definite answer. If this was something we were voting on today in the booth, I'd have to do a little more homework before I got into the booth today.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate about it. I did read a headline. I didn't read the actual article recently that it said that we often attribute this to farmers, but they say it was actually retailers that pushed for daylight savings time.
Hmm.
So I've been, and I think I sent you a report about deer and car hits.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Happening around this time. So there's a lot of research on both sides and a lot of different things to consider when it comes to this, which is why it's probably still a thing.
Yeah, and you know, like a lot of these topics where we're kind of 50-50 on, or not everybody is in agreement on certain things or whatever, then yeah, I mean, that is going to be kind of the way this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another poll we're going to get into. I want to save that one. We'll get into that in a moment here. Let's talk this. Thanksgiving nonsense, Melissa. The best cities for Thanksgiving and the top ways we're saving money.
Okay.
The Thanksgiving stories are coming fast and furious now, and here are two new ones we just saw. Wallet Hub released its annual list of the top cities for Thanksgiving. They ranked America's 100 biggest cities based on five categories: traditions, affordability, safety, thankfulness, and weather forecasts. The top cities for Thanksgiving are Atlanta, Orlando, Las Vegas, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Gilbert, Arizona.
Interesting.
And let's see here. Of course, we always like to see where our local cities and such rank. So I'm going to go ahead and try to find those real quick here.
Scrolling down the list.
Yes, yes.
Down the list.
I see Pittsburgh at number 14, a little near our area here. Not really, but, you know, sort of. it keeps the conversation going.
Closer than Arizona.
Yes, yes. St. Paul, Minnesota at 27. Milwaukee at 36.
36.
Minneapolis at 37.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Well, we're not at the complete bottom.
Yeah. Madison's at 51.
51.
Let's see. And I think that's about it. Interesting, New York, 63rd, way down there. Chicago, 68th.
Huh.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, weather at this latitude, this time of year, can be a little iffy.
I'm guessing, Melissa, you did not watch any of the Ohio State Northwestern football game this weekend.
Are you kidding? I caught every second. No.
Watching that game, people in the stands literally looked like they were in hell. Like they looked like it had frozen over, and they're stuck. They can't move. They couldn't even cheer for their team. Like it was that kind of. You're so right about the weather here in the Midwest. And that's just the way it is, though. It also found the cheapest cities for Thanksgiving dinner this year are Corpus Christi, Texas; Fort Wayne, Indiana; Raleigh, North Carolina; Honolulu, New York. That's right, Honolulu, New York.
I was just going to ask, what?
And San Jose, Honolulu, New York, and San Jose tied for the most expensive.
Oh.
I was going to say, I've never heard of a Honolulu, New York. I did not think that existed.
I was very confused for a moment. And that Honolulu would be the cheapest, that seemed also wrong.
Yeah.
So, tied for the most expensive.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of costs, a separate poll looked at the top ways we're trying to save money on Thanksgiving dinner this year. Our top strategies include keeping an eye out for deals, using coupons, shopping early, and sticking to our list, and comparing prices.
Sticking to the list, that's a hard one.
There's not very often that we get a chance to do this, Melissa, but we've got a chance, a way for you to actually save even more
We do indeed.
Yeah, we got a free turkey to give away with our friends at Quality Foods. It's a Turkey Trivia Quality Foods giveaway. We're having a lot of fun with this. We took our first qualifier yesterday. We're going to ask some trivia, Thanksgiving trivia questions, and you get the question right. You'll become an instant qualifier and be in the list, and we'll announce the winner on November 21st.
Nice. And that's a big turkey, too.
It is a 14 to 18 pound turkey.
So that's enough to feed your family and then some.
Mm-hmm. Be listening for that giveaway between now and 10 o'clock. We'll be doing that.
All right.
And finally, 88% of us are cutting at least one dish from the menu this year, which should make Thanksgiving a little bit cheaper. So that's another thing people are doing.
Mm. If you had to choose one dish to cut, James, what would it be?
Potatoes. That's easy. Mashed potatoes.
I knew
that
it.
Was an easy one. This is just me. This is obviously a selfish thing.
Okay.
You know.
So for your family, though, without you being boycotted then from the family, which dish would you choose?
Wow. everything I can think of. There's at least one family member that's their favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually hit me with an almost impossible question, Melissa. Very well done. Because I almost said cranberry sauce, but I know how much we all love that. That's a unifying one. We all like that stuff.
Well, you got to have that with the turkey.
What's some other side dish? You know, corn. Because I'm pretty much the only one in the family that really loves corn. So I guess I would say corn because Thanksgiving
is self-sacrificing.
Right. it's all about the holiday and everything. And let's be honest, I can make corn any second, any day. It takes nothing
to
make. Even I can make corn.
Corn is pretty easy to make.
Yeah. Now, what about you? Is there one that pops up in your head?
You know, they are all so important, but probably like... It would probably be a vegetable, too. Like, maybe a green bean casserole could probably get away without.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Or maybe the sweet potato dish, candied yams, which they're not actually yams, but you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah.
But otherwise, you got to have the stuffing. You got to have the mashed potatoes, the turkey, the pie. You know, those are the big ones. So it'd be one of the side dishes. Can't cut the buns. Gotta have those.
You gotta have those, especially if those are the Hawaiian sweet rolls.
Oh, yeah, those are yummy.
My God, they got those right. Like, I've never had a bad one of those.
Every time my mom used to make a big fancy meal, she would always forget the buns. Either forget them completely or forget them in the oven.
Huh.
I don't know. It was like a family tradition.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Where's the buns, Mom? Oh, dope. Not that she said that, but.
Oh, no, but I like it. You know, Melissa, this has made me really hungry.
Oh.
This made me very hungry, in fact. Hungry to get a qualifier.
Oh.
See what it did there?
Yeah, that was slick.
No, it wasn't. That was horrible. It was really bad.
A little creepy, too.
It was a little. It walked that line there.
But, you know, at least we can admit those things to ourselves, right?
Not every segue is going to be ice, everybody. It's not always going to be smooth. It's not always...
But any chance to talk about food and Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
That's what our questions are about, I do believe.
Absolutely. And a big shout out to everybody that got these questions together. Nice work, everyone. Let's go ahead and do it right now, Melissa. Let's get play some turkey trivia with our friends at Quality Foods IGA and get ourselves a qualifier, our second qualifier for our second day of this. We'll ask a question. Get ready to call 424-2600. Give us the answer. And just like that, you become an instant qualifier to win this 14 to 18 pound turkey.
Whoop, whoop.
Here is your question, everybody. Get ready to call.
Okay.
What is a traditional Thanksgiving Day dish served with marshmallows that has been mislabeled since the early 1900s? Now, this is one that if you've been listening to, you know, to the show and we're catching yesterday, is just going to, you got the answer. 424-2600, let us know what is a traditional Thanksgiving Day dish served with marshmallows that has been mislabeled since the early 1900s. And it's never a bad idea to take a guess, to take a shot at this.
You can take a shot at it.
Yeah, 424-2600.
The dish, sometimes my grandma used to serve this with like a candied pecan topping, not marshmallows. She would use pecans and brown sugar. And then I think like Rice Krispies too, because it was crispy.
Whoa. Oh, that sounds... Now that I would try. That I definitely would try.
It was really good. Tasted like candy.
That seems like a good one. Let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a qualifier here. Good morning. What's your answer?
Is it sweet potatoes?
Yes, actually,
yes,
it is.
Yes, it actually is. Yes, yes. I was trying to make it dramatic. Sorry. Yes, yes. Congratulations. Yay.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Very well done. Can I get your first name?
Kelly.
Kelly, thank you so much for listening and playing along, Kelly. Did you feel confident about that one? I know I wouldn't have if I was calling it Kelly. I'll completely admit.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, but...
you know, you said it with confidence, and that's a big part of it, so nicely done. Kelly, thank you so much for playing along. Do you mind telling us what town you're calling from?
Wisconsin Rapids.
All right, got ourselves a Rapids qualifier. Excellent. Kelly, do us a favor. Hang on the line. We're going to get some information from you. Thank you so much for being our second qualifier for the Turkey Trivia Quality Foods IGA Turkey Giveaway.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to talk to Kelly. We'll come back and do some celebrating with our friends at Misty's Menu. It's Mel and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What Melissa and I are about to do is get you encouraged to head on over to Misty's. Treat yourself. They're open right now, 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Mm-hmm. Melissa, I am very happy to say I got to make you work this morning.
All right.
I need a 1 through 3.
I'm going to go with 1.
All right, there we go. That gives us our qualifier so we can get right into the celebrating. And we got 3 birthdays today. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Mike Collins.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Mike, an old high school friend of mine, great guy, wonderful guy. If you know Mike, you know what I'm talking about. I wish you a great day, Mike.
Enjoy it.
Want to wish a very happy birthday to Stephanie Horth.
Ooh, happy birthday, Stephanie.
Steph's amazing. Steph's awesome. I imagine that a lot of people in our listenership know who Stephanie is. She, of course, is along Gretchen Powers, one of the creators of Ho-Po Productions.
Yes.
Stephanie has been on the WRCT stage since she was a child. She's been doing this and entertaining. I think that Steph is a very good actor. Because she has, for those that go to a lot of shows and know a lot of this stuff, you may not catch it always because you've been seeing her a lot. But Stephanie is somebody who continues to grow as an actress as well and continue to work on the craft and work on plays. And the work that she does on stage with WRCT is vital, noteworthy. It's important. It almost pales with what she and Gretchen did with Ho-Po Productions. And that our area here has a kids' theater, something like that for kids.
High-quality kids' theater, too.
Yes, yes.
The level that they push these kids, and I shouldn't say push, encourage, and build them up to be better actors, it's amazing to watch.
I've told her this before. I genuinely don't know how she does it. Like, it's impressive to me. It's every year, it's so impressive to me what she does over there, writing these plays, directing these kids. Yeah, and then you see the finished product, like the Walking Dwarves, the last one that they did. And it's one of the funnest shows I've ever seen in my life. Whenever I see a Ho-Po production, it's like that. I love watching classic theater or a great movie or something like that. Just the same way I like watching a sporting game. Mm-hmm. But what I really love, the older I get, is high school sports. Is seeing more community theater shows, seeing more kids shows, so much of these things. It's where the lifeblood of our industry is.
The fabric of our community. It stems from our children.
The next Ho-Po production, of course, coming up around summer and all that. So be on the lookout for that. And if you see Stephanie, wish her a happy birthday from all of us.
Yeah, happy birthday, Steph.
Our qualifier today, Diane Smith.
Ooh, happy birthday and congratulations, Diane.
Yeah, congrats, Diane. We appreciate everybody getting us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody. Send it to info@WFHR or james@WFHR.com. You can like our Facebook page and direct message us that way as well. Taking a look at our celebrity list, Jack Osborne is 37, Ozzy's son and traveling companion. Those two have called themselves best friends before, Jack and his dad, Ozzy.
Nice.
I can relate to that. I'd say my dad's one of my best friends. Tara Reid is 47. She is,
really?
Tara Reid is older than Jack Osborne, and I don't know why that's weird to me, but for some reason it is. And let's see here. Parker Posey is 54. She is Dr. Smith on Netflix remake of Lost in Space, but she's been in so many things over the years. Great actress. Courtney Thorne's... Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I was just looking... Oh, yeah. I love her. She played such a good bad guy in Lost in Space.
Yes. She is one of those actors that can really flip either way for you. She can do it all. Yeah, she's a very talented actor, I think. Courtney Thorne-Smith is 55, Jim Belushi's wife, and according to Jim, and Georgia on Ally McBeal. Another good actor. She does a good job. I can't actually talk about this guy without swearing, so I'm just going to mention Gordon Ramsay's 56. He's an incredible cook, world-renowned chef. Thank you, chef. Thank you, chef.
Entertaining to watch.
Thank you, chef.
Thank you, chef.
I honestly would love to have a meal cooked by Gordon Ramsay. I like the idea, even though it probably one of the best meals of my life. It was okay. I just want to see his reaction. I just want to get a reaction out of him. I'm completely honest about it. I've never really watched any of his shows or anything like that. I can say that I've never seen a minute of any of his shows. Nothing against them. It's just not my thing. But even I know who Gordon Ramsay is. That's how big he has gotten. And I will say too, while he kind of, and this is his brand. His brand is being the foul mouth chef. Hell's Kitchen Nightmares, all that stuff. But if you do a little, you don't have to do a lot of digging on Gordon Ramsay to see a lot of the philanthropic work that he does, a lot of work he does for homeless people and people in need. Has done a lot of the great world-renowned chefs have done a lot with that.
Yeah, and watching him on MasterChef Junior, working with little kids, that's a different Gordon Ramsay altogether. And it's kind of fun to see.
I've heard that before. My buddy Will loves that show, both those shows. And he's told me before that you've never seen him like this before, like the way he is on those shows. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Elfrey Woodard is 70. Jason Momoa's foster mother on C. She's also Cookie's mom, Renee, on Empire. Maria Stokes on Luke Cage. One of the greatest character actors you can look at is Elfrey Woodard. She is amazing. I've never seen her deliver a bad line, let alone do a bad role.
Yeah, I saw her in Love and Basketball.
Yeah.
That was a really good show.
Good movie. Good one. Yeah, good. I forgot about it. That's a good cut. And the great, the wonderful Bonnie Raitt is 73.
Oh, 73.
Give him something to talk about today, everybody. I Can't Make You Love Me is actually one of the more beautiful, like, heart-wrenching songs I've ever heard in my life. Thinking about that song, I can't even just think about it. Like, that song comes on, and, like, I could be in the greatest mood in the world. That song comes on. It's like, oh, man, I remember that girl in seventh grade. I remember that. She's such a good artist. And it doesn't get said enough. Damn good guitar player. Incredibly good guitar player. Like, way better than just your average guitar player. She is a picker. She
Very
is good.
Underrated.
Mm-hmm. Some people no longer with us, like Darla Hood, born in this day in 1931, passed away in 1979. She was a part of the Little Rascals.
Aww, yeah.
The great, the wonderful Escher Roll, born in this day in 1920, passed away in 1998. I used to make my mom laugh and say, Mom, she's my TV mom. For those who don't know, she is Florida Evans. She was Florida Evans on Good Times. She's a beautiful African American woman. But little me didn't think about that. Didn't really care. I just loved her. One of the earliest shows I grew up on was Good Times, and she was the definition of a TV. She's still the definition of a TV mom for me. Because that's what I grew up on. A lot of people that grew up on other shows with TV moms, that was that kind of thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
The great, the wonderful Maury Schaefer, born on this day in 1931, passed away in 2016, won 12 Emmys for 60 Minutes, an incredible reporter.
Yes, very much so.
And one more time, we want to wish happy birthdays to Mike Collins, to Stephanie Horth.
Yes, happy birthday, you two.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Diane Smith. Happy qualifying. Happy birthday, Diane.
Yeah, congratulations.
Get us more of these birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Want to continue to celebrate with you and treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Take a listen to Melissa's news and your way to Misty's. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Democracy Day. Happy Election Day, everybody.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Melissa, this is an interesting one. Do you work with anyone who is constantly passive aggressive about stuff? Come on, Melissa, do you? Do you work with people?
Don't stop it, James. You don't even know how.
No, don't. Instead of confronting people or being upfront, do you get sneaky or mean? According to a new poll, most of us do have coworkers like that. 69% of us say it's become a problem at the workplace, and almost half of us say it's gotten worse in the last few years. Here are five of the most common passive-aggressive things people do at work. I think this is a good chance to like look at this, look in the mirror, look at these things, and look at yourself just as much as your coworkers.
Sure, do a little self-reflection, because it's possible that all of us are a little guilty of being passive-aggressive at times, because it's easy to do, especially when it's directed at us a lot.
Mm-hmm. 69% of us say that it has become a problem, so I think that it's definitely worth talking about, that's for sure.
Yes.
So here they are. Number one, gossiping or talking behind someone's back. 54% of people said it's something they see a lot.
Yes. Yeah, it's common, I would say, not just in the workplace, but in our regular lives, too.
Yeah, I don't know if there's many people that escape this one, you know?
Yeah.
That tends to be one of those ones where it happens. People do it. Number two, complaints and resentment. Like if your coworker was a real jerk last week, so you complained to your boss about something unrelated, like their messy desk. Just confront your coworker.
Right. Or go about it in the proper manner.
Yeah.
Dealing with the situation.
Yeah. I think every, is this a hill I'm willing to die on kind of thing.
Has it really impacted your ability to do your job?
Yeah.
That's kind of a big factor there, too.
Yeah, because I think that the workplace should be safe. The workplace should be inviting and welcoming and those things. It doesn't have to be perfect, though. It doesn't. I mean, it is a job. You are getting paid to do something, and not everything has to be. Not everything in life is easy.
It's called a job.
Right. There's a line there. There's a big difference of your employer being a jerk or not paying you the right pay or something like that. And I've got a hard job. Like. That's the job.
Or a work environment being made toxic by another employee, or being able to find ways to work together even if you don't agree.
That's
called being adult.
Right. There's a difference of you have a hard job physically, mentally, what have you, and your coworkers or your employer or something like that is making your job difficult. There are two different things, I believe.
Very different things, yes.
Giving people the silent treatment.
I thought we lost connection for a second. James, yeah, no, I'm a little nervous.
It's just so much. It's an audio medium. I couldn't help myself.
Brat.
Disengaging instead of confronting them about stuff. I think that if I'm guilty of any of these, this is probably the one that I might be guilty of, swallowing my tongue off. And that's because I'm a big believer in choosing my battles wisely. And I don't believe that every single thing is worth getting bent out of shape about. I will say that if you let things fester and build, the smallest thing can become a gigantic mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
I do think there are times, like we say in sports, to swallow the whistle, to let them play. And there are times where you've got to get involved. You have to, be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I suppose these are good things. If they have to be in there. Number four on the list is being sarcastic in a mean way, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I think that's a brilliant plan. Nice. Wow.
But is it? Is it really, James?
Sarcasm's awesome. Sarcasm is great, but it should be used properly, like any superpower. Yeah. It should be used in the right ways.
And not in a way to make other people feel mean or belittled or small. Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say, I really think sarcasm should be used for comedic purposes only.
Yeah, I agree. So while I haven't experienced a lot of this in the workplace, I unfortunately have experienced a lot of this passive-aggressive behavior in my personal life.
Yeah.
So I can tell you from experience that being inundated by that on your day-to-day life, you start to take some of that on, like, for instance, the silent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
When things in your situation are dealt with, oh, we have a problem, let's not talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you have a tendency to do that because you think, okay, well, this is how I deal with problems. I just don't talk about them. That is not healthy.
No.
Not healthy in your personal life and not healthy at work. If you have an issue, you either need to talk about it with the other person or take it up the chain of command to your next level person in charge. Because
mm-hmm.
if you need somebody to mediate those conversations, that's the better way to do it than to get into a you know, spitting match over something silly.
Yeah, yeah. And number five on the list, being dishonest. Just lying about people you don't like. Yeah. I mean, that never ends well. No matter if you feel, if you feel like you won and the boss or whoever you're complaining to is believing you, that stuff comes back around.
Yep.
I genuinely believe there's never been in history a lie that didn't catch you in the end. That didn't catch up
eventually,
to you in the end.
It may have, you know, you can sometimes pull it off for a while, but the truth always wins out, or at least, you know, those of us hope that it does.
Yeah.
Who have been lied to, because it doesn't do you any good.
I especially coming from my background and the way I grew up and a lot of the people I grew up around. I grew up around a lot of con artists. I grew up around a lot of people that did this for, you know, quote unquote living and that kind of thing. Even they weren't that great. Even the greatest con artist I can think of ain't as good as the truth. Nothing beats the truth, and it always comes to float. It always comes to surface.
Because mm-hmm. What you put out into the world comes back at you.
Yep.
So it just, I don't know, it doesn't end well.
If you tell the truth, you don't got to remember anything. Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy way to go about life. I'm not saying that it's always easy to tell the truth.
No.
But again, kind of going back to some other things we've been talking about, not everything in life is meant to be easy.
Right.
Certain things it should take a little work to earn, to have. It makes
Absolutely.
It that much more rewarding. It makes it mm-hmm. that much more meaningful to you.
Yes.
Now, we all love getting gifts, but how many of you can remember the early things you bought with your first paycheck, mm-hmm. you know, and what that felt
My
like?
My first bike.
Yeah.
I babysat a lot of hours to be able to buy that bike, and man, I loved it. It was awesome.
We had so little clothes, or you know, little clothes growing up. So I'll never forget being able to buy like my first shirt. Like, there was mm-hmm. there was a Max Headroom shirt at Shopko I wanted so bad. And
Shopko,
yeah, right. And man, I saved up for that thing and I got it and I wore that thing so proudly and I wore it, like, I think within months, like put it into the ground because I wore it so much or whatever.
You wore it so often, yeah.
Kind of stuff means something. It really does.
It does.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and get into some more dialogue. Got plenty more to talk about right here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:48 on the clock. Got Melissa and James here with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really like talking about this person any more than we have to, Melissa, but it is in the news and it is a story really all over the place right now. Elon Musk is putting his plan to charge $8 a month for verified Twitter accounts on hold, at least for now. Apparently, he was worried that it could cause the spread of misinformation, potentially influencing voters ahead of the midterms, although he did go on his own platform and say that where people should vote.
Yeah.
Of course, once the elections are over tonight, allowing just anyone to buy a blue check mark still can lead to imposter accounts and spread of misinformation. The whole point of having the blue check mark was saying, okay, this journalist or this person is quoting this. That's a true source. That's the real person.
They are verified as a real person.
But that seems okay with Elon as far as the misinformation things goes, because you'll be able to buy a verified account starting tomorrow. Elon's takeover of Twitter is causing people to bail. Whoopi Goldberg announced yesterday that she's joining them. Quote, this place is a mess. If it settles down enough, I feel more comfortable. Maybe I'll come back. They have lost millions since he has taken over. Since he posted his picture of him walking into the Twitter office with a sink. This man is known as a businessman. He's known as an innovator, as a creator. And I will give credit to what he has done. I will say he did not reinvent the wheel. The electric car is something that we have been working on as a society for a long time. And if it wasn't him, it was somebody that was going to make that happen. What I think we do this with athletes and celebrities all the time, Melissa. Say there's this athlete. He is the best in the world at this position. But he says something, he does something off the field, and he's canceled and may even lose his job. Plenty of people didn't agree with Colin Kaepernick, and he got blackballed. There's things like that that happen all the time. It happens to celebrities almost every day nowadays where they tweet something, we don't like it, they get canceled. Just a couple of things about Elon Musk. And back in March of 2020, people worried that the coronavirus, he called the coronavirus, that people that were worrying about the coronavirus were dumb. He predicted in March of 2020 that the U.S. was going to have close to zero new cases by the end of April. Likening Canadian's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to Hitler, tweeting so many different things. Misogynistic things that he has put at many women, including Senator Elizabeth Warren, writing to Bernie Sanders, who also thinks the richest man in the world should pay more taxes. I keep forgetting you're alive. Dumb sexist jokes that are not funny all the time, baselessly accusing a British cave diver instrumental in rescuing a trapped football team of being a bunch of different things that he had no proof on whatsoever.
Wow.
Reopening a Tesla factory in violation of public health orders where 450 cases were subsequently recorded, running a company that was ordered to pay $137 million to a former black employee over racial discrimination, running a company where a female worker said sexual harassment was rampant, running a company that most employees will call a, quote, modern-day sweatshop, attempting to destroy a Tesla whistleblower. I can keep going, everybody. This is not a good man. This is not a good person. Like, this is a person who I don't like usually doing these kind of things. I have no problem saying I wouldn't want to spend 5 seconds around. And I don't want to spend 5 seconds even listening to. And I hope in some weird way he's able to hear this and he closes my Twitter account or something like that. Go right ahead, man. I can live without it. I can get the information in other places.
Well, so can a million Twitter users, because a million people have bailed from that platform since he bought it.
Yeah. He's a coward. He's a rich coward. You look at the history of him and his family. You look at the things that him and his family have done, and you see a history of misogyny, of racism, of anti-Semitism, of all of these things. And, you know, I'm sorry, where there's smoke, there's fire. I am not a person that believes that one thing makes you, you know, guilty and you're done and we're out. There's way too many things about this guy. There's way too much going on. There's the phrase, where there's smoke, there's fire. Then there's the bonfire that how do you not miss?
Right, right. It just keeps burning.
And I mean, they're only going to continue to lose people, because he's not going to, like all people who live in a bubble, who have nothing but yes men surrounding them. He's got nobody telling him that he's doing anything wrong. Everybody around him is just encouraging him to keep doing this. Oh, yeah, you're losing money. It's OK. You'll get it back. It's OK. It's not like there aren't 100 other, social media platforms out there.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. He does have the money to burn, to be fair.
For now.
He wants to. For now. That's true.
Yep. As we have seen, it can go away quick. It can go quick. And it's people are being smarter and smarter about where they're putting their time and their money. There's been a big talk, like out in a lot of other, the Asian countries, Japan, China, and a lot of places like that, they have requirements about social media, that you can only be on it so long. TikTok over there is completely different. Like, if you're under the age of 12, I believe, you could be on TikTok, but you only get, like, you know, how-to videos or you know, kid videos and things like that.
You're limited to what you can access.
And the majority of stuff on those platforms for those countries is not political divisiveness stuff and everything. The people that are, I wonder if you took away the bots, if you took away the people that are just on, and we'll just talk about Twitter, that are just on there to light fires.
Stir the pot.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder how high their numbers would be, actually. I really wonder what you would have left after that, outside of, like, cat videos. Those will always exist.
And how-to videos.
Yes, yes, yes. And bless the people that do those how-to videos.
Like, yeah.
I don't mean the person with like 7 billion views or anything like that that are doing, you know, more power to them.
Yeah.
But like, you ever see those videos, Melissa, where there's like 1,000 views and it's just a person, they're not representing any company or anything like that. They're like, hey, you want to know how to fix your sink? Here's how you do it.
Yeah. Oh, I watch those videos all the time, usually on YouTube. But if I want to know how to fix something on my car or check something or replace a small part on one of my appliances, I go find somebody that did it before me.
Those people are awesome.
Yeah.
Every one of those people
appreciate
are out there.
Their efforts.
Really good people out there doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the days ahead, the months ahead. I don't think it's going to take a long time to find out how this is going to play out, though.
There's more things coming to light every day. And if you're just going to post whatever without backing it up or without having sources, and then you get a negative response, so you just take it down. That's not really a good method.
Yeah, his big thing before he owned Twitter, whenever anybody would get bent out of shape about one of his jokes, that comedy is outlawed. And when he takes Twitter over, comedy will be okay. And then
a
bunch of people...
What happened to Kathy Griffin?
Right, exactly. Kathy Griffin, a very famous stand-up comedian, great writer. She does these parody things from time to time and doing a parody account of Elon Musk, which you can see right away on her thing. It says Elon Musk and then at Kathy Griffin. So she even said it's a parody, and he still canceled her account.
Canceled her account.
Look, it's not a big reach, all right? The first thing that Hitler did was take over the media. It was the very first thing he did. He took over the media. He took over those kind of things. I'm not saying that he is that. I'm saying that when this thing happens in society, you need to keep open your eyes and keep an eye on it.
Pay attention.
Yes, with anybody. I would say it with anybody, let alone a cowardly punk like this guy. Do want to say a couple of quick thank yous. A big thank you to our qualifiers already for the Turkey Trivia Quality Foods. IGA already got two of them right away, Melissa.
Whoop, whoop. All right.
Shout out to Linda and Kelly. Be listening tomorrow for another opportunity to qualify for this beautiful 14, 18-pound turkey from Quality Foods. And, of course, what we got going on right now is the New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway.
Right on.
You can win two tickets to the January 1st game, Packers-Vikings, club seats.
Club tickets. I figured out a little bit what those are, James.
Oh, yeah.
You get to be warm. I don't know if there's anything else, but you get to be warm. That's a big deal.
It really is, especially New Year's Day. Yeah, that's a really good point. That may have been, like, we may have should have started maybe with that. That's that's a good point. Listeners will register our Dropbox locations for their chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location, and those individuals receive a $50 gift card from that business, and you'll become an instant qualifier for the Green Bay giveaway. You can stop by our friends over at Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, our good friends at La Taqueria and Jennings in Rapids, and of course the great people over at Piggly Wiggly in Nacusa. Drop boxes at all those locations. Get your registration in. Do it before November 28th. That is the cutoff, and the winner will be announced on November 30th. One registration per person per location.
Nice. And that gives you plenty of time to be ready for that New Year's Eve game.
Yeah, when they were talking about doing this, I know that was something that Mike and Steph and some of the other people behind the scenes here were talking about, making sure that they wanted to make people be able to take their time, get to it. Mm-hmm. And You know, I love New Year's Eve. I love New Year's Day. It's one of my favorite things to celebrate, favorite days of the year. This is a great way to celebrate New Year's Day. think about starting your year when you look back this time next year and you're like, man, I got to start the year with one of the greater games on the NFL schedule, the Vikings and Green Bay, the Vikings and Packers, Minnesota, Green Bay.
They have a little bit of a rivalry, don't they?
I've heard this, Mel. I've heard that these two teams have a rivalry. I've heard. No. Yeah, they do.
I have actually, too, believe it or not.
For those that don't know or don't care, this game will have a lot on the line as well. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens between now and then, you got Minnesota in first place, Green Bay not only fighting to get into, you know, possibly first place, possibly in a playoff spot, a little wild card even. So they've got to almost win out here, Green Bay.
They got an uphill battle from what I've been hearing.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, there's going to be a plenty on the line here, and it's Lambeau Field. I mean, it's the definition of history in this sport, in football. You know, it's not every day you get a chance to get to go there, and for free.
Right. And sit in warm seats.
Yes, yes. Get yourself a chance to win these club tickets to the January 1st game, Packers versus Vikings. Stop by Hoozles at the Lakes, La Taqueria, Jennings, Piggly Wiggly. Get your registration in. Buy local, support local, shop at those places as well. And a big good morning to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR.